Chapter 1 of The Great Impersonation. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Tom Weiss. The Great Impersonation by E. Phillips Oppenheim. Chapter 1. The trouble from which great events were to come began when Everard Dominey, who had been fighting his way through the scrub for the last three-quarters of an hour towards those thin, spiral wisps of smoke, urged his pony to a last despairing effort, and came crashing through the great oleander shrub to pitch forward on his head in the little clearing. It developed the next morning, when he found himself for the first time for many months on the truckle bed, between linen sheets, with a cool bamboo-twisted roof between him and the relentless sun. He raised himself a little in the bed. "Where the mischief am I?" he demanded. A black boy, seated cross-legged in the entrance of the banda, rose to his feet, mumbled something, and disappeared. In a few moments the tall, slim figure of a European, in spotless white riding clothes, stooped down and came over to Dominey's side. "You are better?" he inquired politely. "Yes, I am," was the somewhat brusque rejoinder. "Where the mischief am I? And who are you?" The newcomer's manner stiffened. He was a person of dignified carriage, and his tone conveyed some measure of rebuke. "You are within half a mile of the Irrawaddy River, if you know where that is," he replied. "About 72 miles southeast of the Darawaga settlement."
"The devil! Then I am in German East Africa."
"Without a doubt."
"And you are German?"
"I have that honor." Dominey whistled softly.
"Awfully sorry to have intruded," he said. "I left Marlinstein 2.5 months ago with 20 boys and plenty of stores. We were doing a big trek after lions. I took some new Askaris in, and they made trouble. Looted the stores one night, and there was the devil to pay. I was obliged to shoot one or two, and the rest deserted. They took my compass, damn them, and I'm nearly 100 miles out of my bearings. You couldn't give me a drink, could you?"
"With pleasure, if the doctor approves," was the courteous answer.
"Here, Jan."
The boy sprang up, listened to a word or two of brief command in his own language, and disappeared through the hanging grass which led into another hut. The two men exchanged glances of rather more than ordinary interest.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?